This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Rudolph. Rudolph. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudy join in any reindeer game. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudy the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
Oh, yeah. They're calling him Rudy now, huh? That's Dean Martin and his version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I remember when Gene Autry sang that song. I think he was the original. Did you know that it came from an advertising program at Montgomery Ward's? Yeah, Montgomery Ward's. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, the historian Paul Molloy. I am indeed Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, December the 15th, as we move along through the month of December. Got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Wayne Cruz of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He will join us, and we're going to talk about the latest government blueprint for regulations affecting both businesses and citizens. And it's not a blueprint for streamlining. So stay tuned for that. And the Hunter Biden saga continues. Hunter now fears he may have to leave the country if Donald Trump is reelected. Wow. Can we afford to lose Hunter? We will give you the details. And by the way, if you're moving, don't move to Washington State if you got a gas leaf blower. You know why? They got legislation they're considering that would put you in jail if you use one. Yes, indeed. What a great state that must be. We'll tell you about it. And in our ultimate top 10, the updated top 10 best places to live in the U.S. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. In the meantime, you know, we've been worried about the border, right? Well, U.S. Customs and Border Protection is warning agents to be on the lookout now for explosive devices. An internal officer safety alert warns that agents need to be vigilant after the Mexican military seized 10 IEDs. These are improvised explosive devices at the border. They were found after Tucson Border Patrol observed gunshots at the border, and a Tucson supervisory agent apparently arrested an armed person on the U.S. side who had a loaded AK-47, two loaded AK magazines, loose rounds, and a handgun. Other than that, he was quite safe, kind of guy you'd like. So I guess, you know, we're worried about all kinds of terrorism and all kinds of things coming across that border. I don't know what's going on with the Biden administration. I have never heard a decent reason why they wouldn't close the border, other than they say, well, it's secure now. So, you know, they're in Alice in Wonderland territory. But this is kind of scary stuff, is it not? I don't think we want that going on. In the meantime, apparently the House Judiciary Committee took Leslie Wolf, a former federal prosecutor, and started questioning her behind closed doors. Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan said that Wolf, accused of limiting questions during the Hunter Biden probe, refused to answer questions during the closed-door hearing. Why would she refuse to answer questions? Jordan said Ms. Wolf refused to answer. She refused to answer based on instructions that she was given from the Justice Department. Nothing like being open and getting to the bottom of things, right? Jordan added, Wolf told the panel she did not receive any additional instructions from DOJ, in other words, Department of Justice, after the House voted Wednesday night to formalize impeachment hearings and an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. According to IRS whistleblowers, though, Wolf was involved in political influence surrounding prosecutorial decisions throughout the Hunter Biden investigation. Gary Shapley, one of the IRS whistleblowers, alleges Wolf sought to block investigators from asking questions related to President Biden throughout the federal investigation into Hunter. Specifically, Shapley alleged Wolf worked to limit questioning related to President Biden and apparent references to the president as dad or the big guy. I mean, you know, the entire prosecution involved in checking into Hunter Biden is apparently on the take under the Justice Department. Despite Wolf not answering questions, Jordan said the core of the whistleblower's allegations have been proved correct since they first came forward earlier this year. Now, there you go. I wonder how far you can get, you know, continuing to not answer questions. I guess you can get...
You have to understand, they have a plan that they're going by. This whole thing is... I'm telling you, and I'm not one for conspiracy theories. I really am not. This whole thing is a plan. Yeah. Now, all of a sudden... Kirby yesterday, in a press conference, out of the blue, admits that there is a rift between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden about Israel.
Yeah, Kirby is that guy that is a spokesman for the State Department or something.
No upper lip guy. he came out and he said, I'm miffed by it. I don't know what's going on or whatever his answer was.
Yeah, that's usually not him.
Yeah, they usually sidestep, but flat out say there is a rift between them. I'm telling you, they're finding ways that they're going to shove him out.
You think?
I'm telling you.
So the fix is in for getting rid
Joe
of the president.
Biden doesn't look like a man who's running for re-election.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
Because by now, he doesn't even talk about it.
That's true.
Doesn't even talk about it.
I can't remember the last time they showed him at some sort of a press conference promoting his reelection.
Have you seen an ad? Have you seen anything? I haven't even seen a bumper sticker.
Yeah, you may be right about that. They might be planning to deep six the guy.
There is a plan, and it'll.
It ain't going to be Kamala, though.
It's not going to be Kamala. But who's to say that, when they put Gavin Newsom in there that he doesn't take Kamala as his running mate? I don't know.
Well, in the meantime, Hunter Biden is very worried. Very worried if Trump becomes president again. A new report detailing Hunter Biden's legal troubles shows that Biden's son is worried about his fate if Trump returns to the White House. A report in Politico says that Hunter may be forced to leave the U.S. if Trump is reelected. Amid the Republican lawmakers' investigation. In other words, if we get another Justice Department in there and they take a look at what's going on with Hunter, he doesn't want to be around for that one. He's around for this one.
This is a guy who has no problem bringing his cocaine into the White House and leaving it behind, but he's worried about Trump.
This is really something. You know, I was thinking, everybody's talking about Hunter Biden. He is the most talked about son of somebody in the whole country. We know more about Hunter Biden and the things that he has done. I mean, it's like he's a marked man, is he not? No matter if he never spends a moment in jail.
Oh, he's absolutely
just think
good.
About what he's going
he's
through.
He's even using MAGA now. He's using MAGA. He's the victim now. He is the victim.
Yeah.
He'll pay that child support, you know.
This guy is a marked man, but he kind of marked himself. I'm not feeling sorry for him.
Well, he said, well, if my name last name wasn't Biden, I wouldn't be going through this.
Yeah,
well, if your last name
wasn't
Biden, you wouldn't have gotten as far away with what you did for so long.
You got it. You'd probably be in jail. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to change horses a little bit. We're going to talk about the latest government blueprint for regulations affecting both businesses and citizens with the CEI's Wayne Cruz.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. And we know you're busy. Got ready for Christmas and everything, so we appreciate it all the more. And we are delighted to have an old buddy back, Wayne Cruz, who is the Fred L. Smith Fellow in Regulatory Studies at the great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the latest edition of the White House's Unified Agenda of Federal Regulatory and Deregulatory Actions. I bet it makes really good reading, Wayne, if you want to go to, if you're an insomniac laying in bed. But we're going to talk about the latest government blueprint for some of these upcoming regulations. Welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, Paul.
It's absolutely our pleasure to have you. And, you know, these are with all that's going on these days, it's very easy for the common man, like me, to overlook these new regulatory actions that are coming out of Washington. And I guess they keep changing the blueprint. And tell us a little bit about this latest update of federal regulatory and deregulatory actions as it affects both businesses and even U.S. citizens.
You bet. You said deregulatory, but you know there's not too much of that in there.
Yeah, what a surprise.
This is the so-called unified agenda. Its roots go way back to Carter and Reagan era when we were trying to reduce federal government paperwork, and it was a good and a bipartisan thing. But it's an agenda that comes out twice a year, and it presents the agency's priorities on the regulatory front, what they plan to do. It's not a complete listing of all the regulations. In other words, if agencies don't put their rules in there, that doesn't mean they can't issue them anyway. But I would say what's the most significant thing about it this time is you and I spoke before about Biden this year issuing a executive order called Modernizing Regulatory Review.
Mm-hmm.
And you might remember that when we talked about that, what Biden did, one of the things he did, was raise the threshold for what is considered a significant regulatory action from $100 million in annual effect to $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big takeaway for me from this agenda, and there's other stuff too, but let me just mention this. I mean, I know talking about regulations is probably like the oral of equivalent to an audience of, you know, sitting there with toothpicks on your eyelids. but regulation matters a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's the hidden tax that you know, I think rivals the cost of federal spending itself. However, when Biden issued that, the spring unified agenda, the spring version of this that comes out twice a year, we just got the new one, but in the spring version, he got rid of the $100 million threshold, raised it to $200. But guess what? In the spring, there were 290 economically significant actions. Now, even with raising the threshold, Paul, we still have 304 $200 million
wow.
annual impact rules. So you would expect that when the threshold rises from $100 million to $200 million, that, you know, well, we're going to kind of hide some regulations and have fewer rules come through. No, we have a higher number. 30 of the rules that were in the spring agenda are finalized. So that means we've still got over 190 that were economically significant back then, costing somewhere between 100 and 200, on top of the 300 rules that are costing $200 million now. So it's a lot of stuff, and it's all the things you'd expect. It's, you know, rules are starting to make their way from the infrastructure law, the inflation law, the CHIPS and Science Act. All this infrastructure investment, you know, Biden calls it investment, is not coming without strings attached. So those regulatory chickens are coming home to roost. But also everything that Trump had tried to reverse, like the extreme tailpipe regulations and plant emission regulations and things like that, Biden's team has been reinstating all of that. So all of that stuff is getting built in to the new agenda. And of course, all the, you know, the whole climate agenda, the equity agenda, the competition policy agenda, you know, putting Biden swooping in with price controls, calling what companies are doing junk fees. But those are already some of the most heavily regulated entities there are, some of the most heavily regulated industries. So, you know, the reason there may be junk fees is not because of the free market. So, you know, it's just this is an administration that is philosophically inclined toward government intervening, and they don't regard their actions as costly, but at least they do have to report them in the agenda.
Yeah. And while you're talking about all of this, I keep thinking about the actual divisions in our government. The executive branch is supposed to carry out whatever the Congress has passed and enforce the rules. But they're actually creating in their own little kingdom, they are creating these rules and these laws that in many cases I don't think have any connection to what Congress has passed.
Unilaterally.
Yeah, unilaterally doing it. I don't think they've got the legal authority. And as you mentioned, this is a progressive blueprint, is it not?
It is, and you'll see that term even come up. You'll see it come up with drug prices. You'll see it came up with artificial intelligence when he had the tech leaders behind him in the White House calling for artificial intelligence blueprints.